Well, maybe this week you have heard some things. You've heard things that are positive, some things that are negative. That's just kind of part of life, isn't it, church? You just hear stuff. Now, sometimes we're a part of, you know, the, hey, have you heard? I don't know, we're always supposed to be a part of that, but I do have to tell you, I love the creativity of sometimes just businesses and companies and the things that people do and the creativity to market their product or their service. And I don't know if you all have seen recently AT&T's newest creative ad campaign, the one about wireless service and internet and all that. Anybody ever, have you seen those commercials? The just okay is not okay. Anybody seen those? I mean, they're hilarious. Some of them are so funny. Like there's one, the folks are out to eat and somebody says, well, hey, how's the sushi here? And the server says, well, it's okay. Look, you'll never catch me ordering sushi anyway, but if I do, I don't want it to be okay. I want it to be, man, we just literally got it in. I don't know, do you get sushi out of the ocean or off the ice coming out of the delivery? I don't know, but I want it to be the freshest, most amazing. Another one is, it's kind of funny, guy walks in and he's talking to the mechanic there and he said, hey, you guys do brakes, right? And he says, yeah. And he said, well, are you guys good? And he says, yeah, we're okay. And he goes, yeah, we kind of have this saying around here in the garage, you know, that, well, if our brakes don't stop you, well, something else will. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear that. Another one is probably my favorite. I got to tell you, my wife, if I act this out one more time in our house, she's going to scream. But it's the one, have you seen the surgeon comes in? That one is hilarious. The surgeon comes in and he says something. He's waving it. Hey, who got reinstated? Guess who just got reinstated? And then he goes, well, I think I have, you know, kind of thing. And he walks in, and there's the guy getting ready to get operated on with his wife. And he, you know, before he comes in, they ask the nurse, well, how's Dr. So-and-so, the surgeon, is he okay? And she goes, yeah, he's all right. I mean, you don't want a surgeon that's just all right. Sometimes just okay is not okay. And this morning in the book of Galatians, we see some things and we see some scripture today that comes from the heart and mind inspired by none other than the ministry of the Holy Spirit moving in Paul's life. As he writes to the churches at Galatia, this heartfelt message and concern because he's heard things and he's concerned about them, that which they have heard and that which has been preached, they have embraced. And the Bible tells us that it has brought a spirit of simply the Spirit and it's brought life. But there are those agitators, those meddlers that are now bringing in that which is they're trying to bring back into their Christian experience, their faith journey, their faith experience. To go back into the old customs and ways along with that which they have heard, which has brought the Spirit and life into their life. And so Paul is concerned about what he is hearing, so much so that the Scripture tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, oh, you foolish Galatians, for who has bewitched you? And before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And then he says, I'd just like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? You know, church, one of the challenges that is before us always as Christians is that we face is to rightly divide and understand the Word of God. And the reasons behind that, or some of the reasons, or at least one of the reasons, would be that we would not try to find ourselves in a place where we're trying to make the Word of God fit into something or to say something that it's really not saying and it's really not meant to fit there. Galatians chapters 3 and 4, Paul is again referencing Christ has been preached. Those folks are reminded that Christ has been crucified, that he has suffered and died for those very ones that were guilty of breaking God's law. But this one Jesus who we've been talking about, that the Old Testament is ultimately pointing to, the Messiah, the one who's to come, the seed of God, who is to fulfill all of the law of God. This Jesus who is been clearly and publicly portrayed as crucified. This same Jesus who is ushered into a new world of freedom and liberty. Church, if you know Christ, you are free. You are free indeed. You are free to have this joy that you've never, ever had. You know, the one thing about joy in Christ and joy in being in the body of Christ is even if you have had and you find your place and you find yourself here this morning, that it has been one of those weeks. I mean, you've been surrounded by the world this week. Most seasoned Christians, most veterans of the faith, if you will, the one thing that you'll find if you're a young believer is that many seasoned, faithful, long-term Christ followers, they know that those weeks come and those weeks happen because, listen, church, as far as I know, Jesus has not come back for his bride yet. And we're still in the midst of this crazy, upside-down world. And God has still called us to be salt and light. But even though we're living our lives and doing family and going to work and paying bills and raising kids and have all the pressures and stresses of life, the reality is, church, is that those seasoned veterans of the faith know when the difficult weeks come, the hard things of this world happen. They know Sunday's coming. I'm glad you're here. I don't know why you're here. Evidently, it's not the good preaching. It's the deacons. That's you're here because we got great deacons. Amen? But they know Sunday's coming. Man, it's good to get into church. It's good to go to Bible study. I don't know. I hadn't had one yet. Do we have good donuts here? I do know on the first Sunday of every month, some of the folks down this hallway have breakfast. I make sure I make that every that Sunday. But it's good to come to church because sometimes, but Paul is, he's saying, you've got this joy. You don't have to be afraid. You've got direction and purpose. You have a movement and a centered focus. You've got spirit and life. And you didn't get those things by all the rituals and ceremonies and observing the law and you know, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. And don't misunderstand me, church. Do understand this, though, that all of those things, we find God's grace. Some would tell us, oh, like the Ten Commandments. That's obsolete. That's, listen, church, all through the Ten Commandments, if you search and seek hard enough, you find Jesus right in the middle of that. Because it all points to Him. And Paul says, why are you wanting to revert back and do all these other things? Because he ends up saying, ultimately, what really counts? He says in chapter 5 it's for freedom that Christ has come and set us free. Stand firm in that. And don't let yourselves be burdened by this yoke of slavery. But he says, for in Christ Jesus, it's not about circumcision or uncircumcision that has any value. What has great value is the beautiful thing. And what really counts is faith that expresses itself through love. And then he goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 13, serve one another in love. That's what counts. Freedom and liberty. But Paul is concerned about the churches in Galatia and these people that they were giving up. They were going back. He was hearing all these things and trying to add to and remember when. But he's saying, no, Christ has come. You're free. In verse 7 of Galatians chapter 5, he says, many of you were running a good race, for who cut in on you? And now it's kept you from obeying the truth? For that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. And then he goes on to refer a few verses down about those agitators. Because what you see, church, they were forgetting that Jesus had come to fulfill all of that. But that reminds me today, and it should remind us, church, to ask the question practically, hey, how are you running? Well, Pastor Brian, I got some of that joy down in my heart. I've got some direction and purpose, and most of the time, I feel pretty centered on the things that really matter. Are you running towards Him or are you running away from Him? Are you running some part of your week, some part of your life, some part of your day that, you know, you've got God on your mind, you've got maybe even Christian music on the radio, in your home or in your car? Listen, church, you can come and go to church and open up your Bible every once in a while, and you can even pray and throw something in the offering plate. But you know what I've found and what I've realized is you can do a lot of religious activity, but you can be running the other way from God. And it happens with everybody. And it can happen with everybody. It happens with pastors and preachers and staff members and other church leadership. Sometimes even deacons, Sunday school teachers. It happens. I loved a great thing I heard this week. The Experiencing God class that is being offered right now. That's not something new. That has some time connected with it. It is a ministry. It is a spiritual experience. It's a part of walking with God that you can do called Experiencing God. It was written by Dr. Blackaby years and years ago. But I loved what Brother Matt put out this week. He put out a challenge. I think it was to our deacons. I don't know, maybe they're not that great after all. Because he said, hey guys, I want to challenge you. Maybe y'all ought to look over and you know, pray about and look at some of this experiencing God stuff. That, by the way, great deacons. But what I loved was in that email that he put out, and it was a challenge to our deacons to pray about it, think about it, consider it. But he put in there, some of the folks that are doing the Experiencing God class are people that did it years and years ago. But listen, church, this was the part I loved. Because it said something to me. It communicated something to me. And it said, many of these folks, or some of the folks that are taking this Experiencing God class, are people that took it years and years ago, but they've said, I'm at a different place in life. And I want to take a refresher. I want to go through it again because I want to discover where God is active and God is at work and God is doing things. And I want to be spiritually in tune and spiritually alive and spiritually sensitive so that I recognize that and see that and I can get involved and be around that. Church, listen, that's people that are not running away from God. They're running to God. Then that's not to say you're awful, horrible, terrible people if you're not in the Experiencing God class, but I will be checking with Matt to see if our numbers go up after this week. No, I'm just kidding, but Paul says, you were running such a good race. Why do you want to go back? Under the law, why do you want to add all of these things? Because the reality is, church, is that it comes down to about how you're going to relate to God. And church, I got to tell you, I want to relate to God in freedom and liberty. And I want to tell you about some of the liberty and freedom that I experienced this morning in my worship time. Rylan, when we sang, God, fetter my heart, chain my heart, connect my heart to your grace. Church, I don't know about you, but there was a time I could have cared less. Because I wanted my heart chained to what I wanted. I wanted my heart, if it was the things of the world and the ways of the world and whatever it was that I wanted, that's where I wanted my heart fettered and chained and connected to. But I tell you, there is great freedom and liberty that I experience today. And to even think in my heart and my mind that I would say, God, please, continue to pour out your grace and mercy to me so that my heart is chained and connected to your heart and your grace. That's what I want. Because that's where true freedom and liberty is. It's not in being able to call the shots and do what you want, when you want, and say what you want, and all of that stuff. See, one way to relate to God is through a position of works. And if you've ever been there and you've ever tried that, that's exhausting. The other way is through a position of grace. One way is according to the flesh. The other way is through the Spirit. Again, that's why Paul would say, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law? Or by believing what you heard. For it's faith. Again, faith expressing itself through love. That is true freedom and that is true liberty. The thing that God knows and the thing that we have always needed is His grace. And it's consistently church and constantly found throughout the Old Testament. pictures, shadows, those types of the things and the stories that we find in the Old Testament that point to God's grace. Things like the Passover lamb, the sacrificial system, the covenant ratification through the ceremonial law, all those by observing. But praise be to God, church, that God in His infinite wisdom would move us to a place of not just observing and participating in that way, but that we would be brought into great relationship through a great redemption, through a great and mighty Savior that is Jesus Himself. As the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 19, when God declared to Israel, "You saw what I have done to Egypt. And in delivering you from the slavery and bondage of Egypt, I have carried you on eagle's wings unto myself." God's grace has come at the cross, resulting in redemption and salvation. And the response is that is that of obedience and thankfulness on our part. The Anglican pastor and Old Testament scholar Christopher Wright put it like this: the law was given to people whom God had already redeemed. For grace comes before the law. And speaking of God's law and all of that that involved God's law and God's observance of the law and the sacrificial system and all of the things that were contained in that and of that, there was still first and foremost grace. And he writes, there are 18 chapters of salvation and deliverance before we ever get to Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments. For I stress this idea, or I stress this because there is this idea that somehow Old Testament depicted in the salvation is by obeying the law, and somehow salvation and redemption and being born again in the New Testament is seen by grace. And then he wrote those years ago, that is a terrible distortion of Scripture. For church, Paul even writes, he says the promises in chapter 3, verse 16, that were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. That what I mean is this, verse 17 of Galatians chapter 3, that the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus to do away with the promise. For the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in His grace gave it to Abraham. And what is and who is Abraham described at in the Scriptures, church? Anybody know? Abraham was a man of faith. And the Bible says, because of his faith, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That all that God promised to Abraham was because of God's grace. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promised referred had come. Aren't you glad, church? We live on this side of the promise, that is Jesus Christ. We are born to a living faith and hope where there is peace and joy and forgiveness and freedom and liberty and relationship. Move from observing and observers to that which is relationship. And what we get to do is live out these lives in this way with thankfulness and gratefulness. And to say, God, I want to always be moving towards you. God, I always want to be experiencing you and what you're doing. Though I may have done something 20 years ago, God, I want to do it again. I want to sit under your teaching and the truth of your word, and I want to see where you're alive and where you're active, and I want to be in the middle of it. And if I'm afraid to get in the middle of it, God, give me the faith to take a step one day at a time until I am in the middle of it. That's the kind of Christians we're to be, church. Because again, I'll quote him again, because it is so good. Christopher Wright was so right when he wrote this years ago. Obedience is the only right response to having been saved. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you're a believer, listen, church, understand, when God gave his people the Ten Commandments, grace came before that. Love came before that. His faithfulness came before that. He gave them the Ten Commandments so that they could live these lives that were fulfilled and happy in him. That's called grace. When you every once in a while maybe hear something from this pulpit that helps you to grow closer to God and walk with God and love God more. Church, understand this, that it's so you'll walk in obedience and gratefulness and thankfulness, because really when you peel everything else away, that's really the only response we should have. Because I was lost, but now I'm found. I was drowning, and it wasn't in God's grace. I was drowning in the lies and the ways of the world. How about anybody else? And God in his mercy and his grace said, son, I've got something for you. No wonder Paul was concerned about what he was hearing. Why do you want to go back to that? For obedience is the way to enjoy the fruits of redemption and not to earn them. You know what, church? Let's stop trying to earn our salvation and let's just be free. Free in him. You mean, Pastor Brian, that means I can go do anything I want to do? No. And how is that free anyway? See, this thing right here will play tricks on you. That's why you need a new one of these. It's got to be new. It's got to be a new heart that only God can give. Because the reality is, church, is that we are inadequate. We're inadequate to live this Christian life. The only thing that we can do is to be recipients. To be recipients of God's grace, to find our sufficiency is only in him. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 simply says this, that we're not sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And he has made us sufficient ministers of a new covenant, the new covenant. And church, this matters. It matters a lot, because he goes on to say that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. See, in my inadequacy, if I'm trying to manufacture something that is some type of semblance of the Christian life, it's going to be woefully short. If I'm trying to manufacture, you ever heard that? You know, we need people to just see Jesus in us. Yeah, they need to see Jesus in us, but if I have anything to do with it, that ain't what they're going to see. I can't manufacture a perfect serving love. I can't manufacture a heart of grace, but I tell you what I can manufacture. Anybody impatient right now? Well, I'll help you with your impatience. It's about lunchtime. Now you're really impatient. I can manufacture all kinds of impatience. I can manufacture up some ungodliness, some adequacy in the flesh. I can manufacture some love it's not a lasting love. Oh, it might do some nice things and it might make people feel better. But you know what it comes down to apart from Christ? You know what my love is? My love comes with conditions. That's my love. Hey, I'm just being real. I got some conditions. Hey, if I'm over here working at this grace thing and I'm a dispenser of God's grace, you best be believing I want you to recognize what I'm doing for you and you be happy about it. Because my love and grace has some conditions. But let me tell you, church, aren't you glad that God doesn't operate and think that way and do us that way? God's love and God's grace is unconditional. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We don't have to manufacture anything. And if we do, church, the scripture says, listen, what's at stake is either death or life, bondage or liberty. Paul was trying to say, listen, that served its purpose for a time, but the seed has come, the one who has come, the one the prophets spoke of. And church, when we're trying to do life in our strength and in our way, we'll be discouraged, we'll be exhausted, and we'll feel condemned. But when it's in the abundance of God's grace, we're strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. When we look to our own supply, we're going to be heavy and burdened. When we look to God's supply, we're going to be light and free. Because, church, I like the fruits of redemption. And I'll close with this. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Church, the principles of the world but when the time had fully come. Somebody say hallelujah. I didn't even have to ask twice. God sent his son. Born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So we're no longer a slave. If you're a slave today, you don't have to be. Jesus came to set you free. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. You're now a daughter. And since you are a son and you're my daughter, God has made you also an heir. You know what heirs get, church? Anybody? They get the inheritance they get it all. Let's pray. Father, we get it all because you gave your all. You gave us yourself. And I pray in these moments that if there be someone here that is trying to get their all, but they're doing it for all the wrong reasons and all the wrong ways, and for all those things that they think will bring lasting peace and happiness and joy, I pray, God, by the power of your Spirit, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and their hearts to see the beauty that is Christ, the one who sets us free. Father, help us. Help the one that maybe is stumbling in the running of faith right now. Encourage them, support them, sustain them as your word says that you do. For those of us that are running a strong race right now, God, please, please, by your mercy and through more and more grace, keep us humble. God, we need to be humble. And for those that are not even in the race of faith, because their faith is in and of themselves, Father, show them the inheritance that you have prepared for them through Christ the Son. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.